This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Yes, or as Jane likes to call it, Kennedy effing Molloy.
Oh, I don't.
You are terrible.
Oh, my goodness. Straight I apologise, Australia, for my potty mouth
we'll
yesterday.
Be discussing that at length again on
Welcome
today's
to the
show.
It's Kennedy Molloy. It's Friday.
Here we go, people. One more to go, and then it is game on. You went to a school musical.
I did.
Two words that strike fear into the heart of every man.
Except when it's pretty good.
All right. Well, I'm not sure I want to hear about
unusual.
That.
Most unusual. I know. Clown. Hey, yep. Clown. Clown of the week.
Who's on?
Well, everyone.
You'll be in it.
I'll be in it. Yeah. You're in it, trust
Why
me.
Why am I in it? Don't think I should be
no,
in it.
No, you make a weekly appearance.
Madeline
in
West
it.
Is a special guest on today's program.
Excellent.
One of your besties.
Yes, and she's written some terrific kids' books, especially for kids. Yeah.
Well, we might get to that. You've done some work with the children, haven't you?
Work with the children?
You have.
Oh, yes, I
yes,
may
have.
Oh,
you may have. It might come up today.
Hey, we've got Dave O'Neill coming in
I
as
love Dave
well,
O'Neill.
Which is great.
He's been away. He's back.
He's been to Switzerland to see his twin brother there, so we're going to hear all about that.
You will feature again Jane Kennedy in a segment called Bad Parenting.
Oh, jeez. I know. At least I'm honest.
Well,
I'm going to be honest
we're
about
gonna
that.
Take your calls, take your tweets. So much more to be jammed into today's big program. But let's start at the top, Jane Kennedy.
Last night, went to my son's school musical. You know, they're very different to the day
what
when
was the
I
musical?
Did school. It was called Legally Blonde, the musical. Now, you know, that was a movie with Reese Witherspoon.
Yes,
and it's really, really good.
Is it funny?
Yes. It's funny and it's
edgy. Is this a boys' school or are the
they're
girls
boys
playing?
Boys and girls.
So girls are playing girls, boys
girls
are playing boys.
Yeah, it's mixed and they're really good because I was lamenting the fact I went and had a really good time. We all did. We enjoyed it. It was a very great performance. Congratulations to my son's school who were involved.
Yes, good one.
But I go, oh, my God, what did I put my parents through? Do you know what I did in like my year 11, I think we were year 12? Gilbert and Sullivan. That's just really a punish.
Yes, it
honestly.
Is.
And Shakespeare, I made them sit through like 3 hours of Macbeth and Henry the Fourth.
Yep.
And they were so lovely about it.
Yeah.
But that's just a punish.
No, that's their price to pay.
What's
I was involved
price?
In some cracking school musicals.
Really?
Yes, I played Mackie in Macheath, which was our rewrite that we did of Mac the Knife, which is Bertolt Brecht. And we rewrote it and introduced songs from the Beatles to sing along to. And there's a couple of memorable scenes. Mm. One where I'm on the gallows with a noose around my neck singing I Get By With a Little Help From My Friends.
That sounds ironic.
That was very good. Another one when I'm sitting on the end of a bed with 8 Toorak College girls dressed as turn of the century prostitutes while I sing Michelle My Belt.
Now, there's got to be footage of
if
that.
If there's
somewhere.
Footage of that, I'm cooked.
I've honestly,
said this before. If anyone can find footage of that,
if someone has that,
it's
got to be on, well, what it was probably Beta, was it?
Yeah.
Well,
VHS somewhere, crusting away in a
if
box.
If you can get it, I'll go
that
quietly.
That I would love. If Dave, have you been to many musicals?
Haven't been. No, I'm not a real musical kind of guy. Never been in one. Don't go to them.
Oh, that's
Sorry.
A sad addition
oh,
to
well,
the
come
show.
On,
Sorry,
guys. Come on.
Hey,
see,
thanks for contributing.
This gives me the pip, the people right, who are anti-musical.
I play Mrs. Squeers in a musical. I had to come out and sing a song called As an Old Lady, dressed as an old lady with a pot stirring it, singing Brimstone and Treacle.
Again, footage I would kill to see.
I was very good.
I love your humble attitude to performances as well.
And I did play Danny Zuko, I think, in a...
You did
not. In a fully blown production
you haven't
of Grease.
Been in Grease.
No, it was an end of season, like a review.
Yeah.
And I think I came out and did the big number. You'd probably want to get that too.
Oh, yeah. You didn't play Kinnicky. let's not mention it.
Hey, do we
what
talk about now what you did
you?
Or we save it for clown?
Can I just say when I came out as Danny Zuko... there was a flutter of programs in the auditorium. Everyone went, so who is that?
No. What? They had to know because they go, how did he fit into that leather
Shut up,
jacket
Jane.
And those pants?
What I was skinny McNinny when I was
Were
at
you?
School. Yep.
Oh.
Yep. Just, that's a lifetime ago.
This is Kennedy Molloy.
How are you going today? Did you cop a bit of heat last night? Because I've been defending you all day for things you said on yesterday's program.
Well, you mean when I accidentally dropped the F-bomb.
Well, for those who haven't heard it, it gives me no great pleasure
it's me
to
no
play
great.
This, but just so you're aware of what happened yesterday, here it is.
They've got no bras on.
Scratch.
That's not a good look either.
I always put a bra on before I go to the bathroom. This is, I think we have.
Hang on.
Hang on. That's Dave. That was Dave at the end getting us into delay. He had to
clean
dump
up
that.
The show.
What did you say, Dave, to me yesterday?
So I've been in radio close to 30 years now and I've never had to dump talent. I've never had to dump anyone that's in the studio. Callers all the time. Never.
We've had some rugged callers here over the years at Triple M. And a lady comes to town and all of a sudden...
Badge-wearing swearer.
Just going to have the line again. We've got the little line right on the end there. This is how it went down. This is, I think we have...
The judge.
That is unbelievable. What? So what you're hearing there is what didn't go to air because Dave dumped it.
Yeah.
And then we went and retrieved it and put a beep on it.
Well, fortunately, in radio, you do go in delay, and I'm sure most people realise that.
Well, we have to delay you because you've got a track record in this department. You've let us down a number of times.
Why?
That is true.
Come on.
What have you done?
This happens more often than not. Some of the stuff you do, we don't even put to air.
What?
Some of the stuff we make you do again.
What?
You remember your interview with Dave Grohl?
Yeah.
Do you remember the first one? Oh, dear. Play it, Dave.
I am a huge fan. I'm going to be a bit of a creepy f***. So, Dave and Taylor, I would like to f*** you guys.
Jeez Louise.
Seriously, the only other person I f*** was Alice Cooper.
Whoa. What is going
on? That is, I will sue you, and to quote yourself, that has been manipulated in the most evil way possible.
That was the view. Did you hear what he said? He goes, geez Louise.
Even he was shocked.
Even he was shocked at
How dare you besmirch me and in the company of those princes?
Wow.
That's outrageous. Come on, fess up.
What about, you did some work with the kids, didn't you? Did you do something with the Wiggles?
I did.
What was your character?
Jane the Singing Dentist.
Now, what was that? What was that for? Was it an episode of The Wiggles?
Dorothy the Dinosaur and Paul Field asked me. He's a manager of The Wiggles, and that was, I tell you, it was the best gig I've ever had in my life.
Well, for you, not for them.
What do you mean?
We've got the first take. You got the first take there?
Yeah, let's have a listen.
Hello, I'm Dentist Jane. I'm going to put my gloves on now. Open wide. What teeth? I'll just check your bottom teeth. Open wide. These look too. Your teeth are
I beg your pardon. How dare you do that?
Woke Jeff up. That's pretty language.
Jeff up. Captain Feathersword.
He's a pirate. And even he hasn't heard language like that. At sea. He took him by surprise.
That's outrageous. Hey, I'm sorry. I have apologised to the network and to all my bosses, and I can't guarantee that it won't happen again. That's the only problem.
Hey, that was seriously, that what we played there was a character you did.
Yes.
And you sang a song.
Oh, it's not really Triple M, trust me. We can't go from
Guns N' Roses
to me singing.
And this is your character, was it the dentist? Jane the Dentist.
Yes.
And you sang a song. What are you trying to do? Encourage kids for dental hygiene?
And also to make them feel good about themselves.
We've got a little fascinating glimpse into highly strung.
Okay, we've got it there, Dave.
This is Jane singing.
I've been thinking about your mirror, Jane.
Yes?
We know a song about looking in a mirror.
What's that?
I look in the mirror.
Oh, I love that song. I could sing it with you. That would be
maybe
wonderful,
not.
Jane.
This is really strong.
The mirror, and what do I see? Two big eyes staring out at me.
Okay.
Look at me so brightly, and I can see. There's no one as lovely in the world as me.
What? You're singing up yourself. There's no one as lovely in the world as me as you look in the mirror.
Yes, because it's about self-esteem.
You're out of control,
Kennedy. It's about feeling good about yourself. And at the moment, I don't feel so good about myself.
But
I might have to take my own medicine.
Is the perfect lead into Clown of the Week. You are the reason we're here today. You've been clowned already for all your stuff.
I might cry soon. Careful.
We need more notice so we can get ready.
Do you want to hear verse two of
No.
We'll come back and
it was the best gig I've ever done. I was thrilled to
I'd
be asked.
I'd love to be in a Wiggles film. Well, we were asked. Me and Tony were asked once, but we couldn't fill it in with it. I think we were going to be serving gelatis or something.
Yeah, I think they were just being kind. Trust me. You've got to be a real professional.
I would have dominated.
Yeah. No, you would not.
Right.
I would have dominated.
Anyway, all right. Big shout out to the Wiggles.
I wasn't asked to be a Wiggle. Would have been the...
Oh, really? You're shocked. Yeah. I'm not.
Yeah. Aubergine Wiggle. Okay, 133353 if you want to get clowns. Involved, clown of the week.
I got heaps.
This is Kennedy Malloy, your new way to drive home.
There are many contenders.
Hey, I'm the leader, bro.
Please explain.
I'm let you finish.
Oh, good for you.
But it can't always be this guy.
You are fake news.
Who will be...
He was a famous clown.
Clown of the week.
Dedicated this week to Jane Kennedy, who dropped the F-bomb on air. Dave, I don't like hearing it, but if you've got it again...
I'm worried that it's not affecting me as much as it should.
When you realise you've done it,
I know.
So you gave yourself a real fright.
And then I did a Mrs. Slocum. Whoops.
Yeah. Ooh.
I've never had a noise like that come out of me. It's weird.
All right. What do you want to do? You want to lead off? Do you want to?
I can lead off. Look, sure. Maybe from the top, I should clown you, Mick Malloy, because even I was explaining at the front of the head of the show that we had a kick the box, which is a ritual that we have on Fridays at our office place, like many other offices.
Let the games begin. You kick the box, and then you're allowed to have a drink.
That's right. You kick off game, but
it's like cutting the ribbon on knockoffs.
That's right. And you were asked to do it. It's a big honour.
It's a big honour.
There's a lot of people that work here, and everyone was.
We filmed it too, by the way. Instagram.
I was like Caesar. Talking to the masses.
Well, annoyingly, people were a little bit excited, I have to say. And there was a bit of buzz in the air. But anyway, you were talking that up mostly. Anyway, you're walking towards it. And there was a bunch of girls from sales department all standing around. And you went and stuck your head in, didn't you?
I did.
Interrupted one of the girls who was speaking.
There's a girl making a farewell speech who's been here.
Tegan was giving, how many days she's thought about this, her big moment. Yeah. And you stick your big noggin in and say, ladies... kick the box. I'm doing it upstairs. Let's go. You ruined someone's farewell speech.
She's getting teary and all.
Yeah, Dave.
To be honest, mine was probably more entertaining.
I beg your pardon.
Tegan's had a good run.
I beg your pardon.
Had a good run.
No, she's that's not in. On. My apologies, Tegan, on behalf of my co-host.
I didn't know. But also, too, when I walked around, they were all clapping her, and I thought it was for me. So I've walked in with my hands up going, thank you. I'm kicking the box upstairs.
And they all went, aw. Because they wanted to see it. And they didn't want to hear the rest of Tegan's speech. Clown.
Tegan was very good. We'll miss her.
Let's move on.
Whoever she is.
I beg your pardon. Listen, you're joking.
Let's start at the top. Why don't we clown the White House press corps? Should we do that?
Well, sure.
They got their knickers in a knot this week, didn't they, Jane?
Yes, because Michelle Wolf was
very
the
funny.
Comic.
Great. We tried to get her on this show earlier in the year as a regular correspondent.
Because we've had our eye on her.
We have.
She did some...
Drop dead funny.
Really, let's have a listen to Michelle.
Let's have a listen to some of her stuff.
Good evening. Here we are, the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Like a porn star says when she's about to have sex with a Trump, let's get this over with. And I know as much as some of you might want me to... It's 2018 and I'm a woman, so you cannot shut me up. Unless you have Michael Cohen wire me $130,000. Of course, Trump isn't here, if you haven't noticed. He's not here. And I know I would drag him here myself, but it turns out the President of the United States is the one pussy you're not allowed to grab. Fox News is here, so you know what that means, ladies. Cover your drinks. Seriously.
Now, she got in a lot of trouble for that, and people need to calm the farm. It's a friggin' joke.
They did, she said she was disrespectful. Well, that's what it is. It's a roast traditionally.
Can I tell you this? What? And they did this on behalf of Donald Trump, and Donald Trump came out and said it was disrespectful. Can I remind you, this is a man who openly mocked a handicapped bloke trying to get a laugh out of a rally.
Yeah.
And he's saying this was out of hand and this was in poor taste.
Well.
The President of the United States openly mocked a handicapped man at a rally, did an imitation of him.
I don't think we need to have great lessons in moral standing from the President of the United States.
From that big turnip.
Okay.
What do you got?
How about, what about Macron?
Waffle.
President for calling Lucy Turnbull delicious because it's slightly creepy. Let's have a listen.
But I wanted to thank you and your delicious wife for your warm welcome.
Delicious. Well, what did you mean to say?
Délicieux is a word in French, but it actually means delightful. So you meant to say, I would like to thank you and your delightful wife.
Your delicious wife.
That word belongs to Bruce McAvaney.
It does.
Don't you dare try and get anything off. Let's talk to some of the listeners. Gary, who would you like to clown?
I'd like to clown Kanye West.
Oh,
fair call.
He's right up there.
Yes.
This is when one of his actually probably peak moments of insanity, what he had to say about slavery.
He said this at a TMZ chat fest.
Yep. When you hear about slavery for 400 years, for 400 years, that sounds like a choice. Like, you was there for 400 years and it's all of y'all?
Gary. Cool. Yeah, that's...
Here's my theory on this, that... In a pre-Trump world, that would have not been tolerated. Like, if someone had come out and said slavery is a choice, I guarantee he would have been run out of town.
Regardless
it would probably
skin colour.
Never work again. Since Trump, you can now say and do the most outrageous things and people just say, oh, it's okay. Mm. You can grab them on the pussy. That's okay. Yeah, oh, it doesn't matter. You can say whatever you like and do whatever you like and we're no longer outraged or there's no consequence. He's going to bat up tomorrow
Sets
like it never
tone.
Happened.
That is a horrific
thing
I think
to
Kanye,
say.
Though, they'll hide him behind mental health issues.
All right, well, good for him. Dave, who would you like to clown?
Guys, I'm going a little bit close to home. I'm going to clown the Triple M Music Club.
Jeez, what for?
Why?
Well, they didn't nominate to put Dentist Jane's song
on the playlist.
On the playlist.
Yeah.
This week.
You got a second verse there? You've got a second verse there.
Here it comes.
Okay. I look in the mirror and what do I see? One big smile smiling straight at me.
You are out of control.
No one as lovely as me.
Did they offer
number one with a bullet.
Hey, thanks, Dave. It's me, number one. Gunner's number two.
Did they ever offer you the role, the female wiggle?
The female wiggle?
Yeah. Did they offer you the yellow skivvy?
I had a few years on that. I think they wanted a younger lass.
Too many wine stains on the skivvy, I reckon.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Clown of the week, we are doing 133353. Get involved. Who's your clown? Time to clown them.
Yes, that's right. And there's plenty going on. Can I clown Guernsey, that chick flick? What's it called?
Oh,
Guernsey with the meat pie, lemon meringue, something or other. It is the worst chick flick, guys.
Well, you did. You fell off the couch.
I fell off the couch.
Because you saw a trailer for it.
And I went, Mother's Day's looming. This is a Mayday situation.
And it gave you, like, almost hives.
Can I play you the trailer? This is alert, gentlemen. If you hear or see this on the telly, change the channel before said partner becomes aware of this.
Ashton, my name is Dorsey Adams.
I am part of a book club, the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society, founded by Elizabeth McKenna. Our Friday night book club became a refuge to us during the occupation by the Germans.
It's so compelling. These people had to actually live with their enemy. Finally, I'll have something serious to write.
You are not what I expected.
How did you imagine me, Mr. Adams?
There.
You suppose it's possible for us to already belong to someone before we've met them?
I feel keenly how your life has changed the arc of my own forever.
I gave it four baths.
Fair enough.
Can we hear that last line? I mean, if you just want to say, I'm going to nominate this as the worst line ever uttered on
screen.
It's
really pukey.
That people paid to see.
I agree.
I feel keenly how your life has changed the arc of my own forever.
So firstly, keenly is a word that shouldn't be bandied about.
It feels so keenly that I want to...
Another giveaway with this is the word book club.
No, oh,
yeah, no, that's got to be eternal.
That's a telltale right there. Who do you want to clown, Joan?
I want to clown Meghan Markle's brother.
Oh, he's half-brother.
Half-brother?
Half-brother.
Yeah. Oh, same diff.
No, it's not. It's very different.
Okay.
What's he done?
He's not going to the wedding, I'll give you the tip. He's written to
that's
Prince
Harry. That's
one way
Harry. Of getting out of a wedding.
Look, this is disastrous. He's written to Prince Harry, and I'll just start the letter. I won't read the whole thing, but it says, it's not too late, spelled incorrectly, T-O. Never mind. Meghan Markle is obviously not the right woman for you. As more time passes to your royal wedding, it became very clear that this is the biggest mistake in royal wedding history. And he goes on.
Well, there's a couple I'd like to cite you, but go on.
Well, Fergie wasn't right up there, was she? Nor was Princess Diana. I'm confused why you don't see the real Meghan that the whole world now sees. Meg's attempt to act the part of a princess like a below...
All right, I'm bored.
Well, fair enough. Me too.
But that's the problem you'd have when you've got a when you've got a nutty half brother.
But
just ask Harry; he's got one. William.
What do you mean?
He's half brother.
Don't you say that?
Yeah, come on.
No, I won't have that. You've been reading too many of your books.
Are you kidding me? You reckon they're brothers?
They are totally brothers. Don't you say that.
You make me laugh.
Anyway, that is really the last final nail in Markle's coffin, I reckon.
Langers is on the line. Langers, who do you want to clown?
G'day, lads.
Yep, who do you want to clown?
I'd like to clown Maddie for her Swarovski sneakers.
Oh, I'm so impressed you said the word Swarovski too, Langers.
He can say it. He can't afford it.
Maddie works here at our workplace. She's in charge of... She works in the area of talent and...
She's just a rank and file member. She's not rolling in it.
She's a young lady.
She's managed to put aside $3,000 for a pair of
sneakers. Yes, you heard right. $3,000 for a pair of Swarovski sneakers. We got a bit of Maddie? Have a listen.
Maddie in her shoes.
They were $3,000.
And how would you describe them, man?
Oh, they're beautiful.
Well, Jane, what are they?
They're runners. They're white runners, but they do have amazing sparkle all over them.
They're not the most comfortable shoes.
Did you say they're not
runners.
Comfortable?
No. I had to put some insoles in them.
That's the funniest bit, that they're uncomfortable. That often happens when you buy really expensive shoes, that they're really
uncomfortable.
Two words.
Dunlop volleys.
Yes.
Well, they looked a bit like that. Oh, you just need to put some...
You were trying to mount a case. This is so sad.
What?
You were having a moan earlier today about, women get charged more than men for just about everything.
I'm not having a moan.
Well, for dry
Same
cleaning.
Product,
for haircuts.
Women get charged more.
Yeah, because,
dry cleaning.
Because people know you'll pay $3,000 for
a pair
of runners.
But that's not a reason to have it.
You're trying to find a guy who's going to pay it because
that's
you
extortion.
Will. How much you pay for your handbag? Bang.
Not telling.
There we go.
Well, and men don't have handbags.
But because we're not going to pay that much money for it.
Rubbish.
I'll put a bum bag on, or I'll give you a Velcro wallet.
How's your fancy watch going?
It's at the shop.
Yeah. Getting fixed because it's so expensive.
So
local jeweler.
What a man does is it's the only bit of jewellery they have, apart from my Prince Albert.
You're really off.
Of course I'm off. It's my job.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
You were banging on saying women are nuff-nuffs.
I was still doing Clown of the Week, by the way, 1-3-3-5-3 if you want to get involved.
You're saying that women, scoffing at us
women
because we spend a fair whack of dough
on
shoes.
You were trying to mount the thesis that it's unfair that women pay more than men for most equivalent services. And I say
I'm
that's
not
because you're prepared
to mount
to pay
the thesis.
It.
It's a fact, and it pisses me off.
Your haircut is going to be more expensive than mine because I'm out in 15 minutes, you're there for 4.5 hours.
Well, that's
chatting
different.
Away,
I'm not talking
everyone.
About haircuts. I'm talking about when you go to the dry cleaner and a woman's shirt, which is smaller than a man's shirt, costs $5 more to get dry clean. What is that?
You always will have pleats and...
Rubbish. Same cotton.
Little boozy
I'm talking.
Platforms and stuff.
For
whereas mine
sake,
is just
who has ever
a
invented a boozy platform? You've just made that up.
No, I don't
who
know
do you think you
I mean.
Are, Tom Ford?
Tom mind. Ford's a very good designer.
I know. Hey, right. We've got someone on the line. Paul.
Oh, jeez.
I just want to find out from you. Paul, how are you?
I'm not too bad. How are you going?
Well, I'm good, but Paul,
don't
you're
wear the team down here, Paul.
No, Paul, you're in the confessional right now, but I almost think you feel a bit braggy about this. Can you tell everybody what you bought?
I bought a $5,000 pair of shoes.
Well, please explain.
Right.
Well, I had them custom made in England at a brogue shop over there. I'm not going to name the actual shop, but there's a few over there in Savile Row that make suits and shoes as well. So.
Paul, did you know that they were going to cost $5,000?
Yep, I knew beforehand and I specifically ordered them. I went there 1 year, ordered them, picked them up a year later.
When you could afford them. leave them there and save up.
Paul, did you have a partner at
the
time?
Where do you wear those shoes, mate? Where do you wear them?
When I go out.
But where?
When I go out to the races or functions or fundraisers.
Court.
Are you a bit toffee, Paul?
A little bit.
Well, I like your style.
I'll buy him off you for $3,500.
Sorry?
I'll buy him off you for $3,500.
No.
Not for sale.
Just four. A treat for myself, so then I won't sell them.
Paul, I'm really glad you called.
Like,
I love
are
the
they like egg boots or something? What
no,
style?
They're brogues.
Hey, take
you
that
tell
tone
me you don't know what a brogue is. Come on.
But then again, I've spent more money on my wife's shoes, so I'll
just and so it goes.
All right.
There it is. Mucking around down the shallow end of the pool at 5,000 he is. Mm. How much your handbag cost?
I'm not telling you.
I've got an idea.
You're not my husband.
Whoa.
North of five.
And dodged a bullet
anything.
There, I think is the phrase I'm looking for. Well, all right, there you go. Hey, we've got a couple
both
more.
Both of us then.
A couple more clowns to go.
Yes,
go
we do. It. Oh, look, there's actually. Who? First of all, anybody who makes the May the 4th be with you joke today. Enough. We're sick of it.
Come on. It's a bit of fun.
Lee Simon
really
came up and did the
cynical?
May the 4th joke to you and gave you a present.
It's a dad
and
joke.
You know, I like
got,
Lee
you've
Simon
got,
saying
got on
it to
air
me.
And you have
it's nothing to do.
You.
I'm not even going to go at Lee. I'm just saying.
Why do you turn on your own?
Do I sound like a whingy cow at the moment?
Yeah.
All right. I got more.
Give us a call. 1-4-5-3. Just you sound like a whingy cow. Hey, what about George Columbus's neighbour? Claire's
oh,
clown.
Speaking of
her.
Whingy cows.
Well, yeah.
Yes, this
sing,
woman's
right?
aspirational.
She was unbelievable. We were watching A Current Affair. Yes. They've done the full. The
he's got the council
job.
Approval, but he's put up a gym next door to her.
Looks
and
a bit
she doesn't built. Like it. I think we got a little bit of her complaining.
It looks like a public toilet.
The 71-year-old is talking about this, a gymnasium celebrity chef George Columbaris has decided to build in the backyard of his mansion, just centimetres from the fence.
It's just a terrible construction. I don't think he should be living in suburbia.
Helen's launched legal action, claiming the gym breaches regulations and that she was only told about it after construction had started.
I've got to keep the blinds closed day and night. Shocking.
Well, all of a sudden she's an arbiter of great architecture as well. But look, George has come back and he said, it's not finished.
Yeah.
And when it's finished, all the neighbours apparently are going to be ecstatic.
I know why he's building a gym.
Why?
George Cavanaugh's in his own backyard. Because you know that's the only place you'll never be bothered by Matt Preston. I just said it. Hey, what about this? What about a clown for anyone who's released a sex tape without proper consent? And I can speak on this because it happened to me.
What happened
you
to
remember,
you?
You remember that shot of me eating the burrito?
I don't think it's the same thing as what happened to Dane Swan.
Trust me, that's a sex tape. Ooh, I love that burrito.
You did. You wolfed that burrito down.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk Johnny Knoxville.
We
all
are.
Right, stand by.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
I'm going to fill you in on a guy that we think is pretty funny. I know you do. You've inappropriately shown this man to your children. It's Johnny Knoxville.
Yes.
Who, of course,
Jackass.
Is Jackass.
Yeah. I love Jackass.
And you showed your twins that. And that was
I showed
probably
my
very inappropriate.
Twins and they were.
See, there are only five now.
They were four at the time. They just turned four. And I tell you what, when there's a bloke suspended by his underpants on a washing line above a crocodile that's trying to bite him in the balls, you two boys are crying with laughter. You go, you're on here.
All right.
Well done. We're
that on. Makes me laugh too. Now, this guy, he literally has 15 doctors for different parts of his body because he does his own stunts, clearly. His latest mishap happened. He'd been shooting and he was in his hotel room and he had a little bit of dried blood in his nostril. He blew hard to get rid of it, and I'm not joking, but his eyeball popped out. And you know what he did? He's so calm about it. He goes, like, my left eyeball just pops out of my head like a cartoon. I was like, oh, no. So I pushed it back in, and I called the producer. And I said, look, might be a bit late for work tomorrow. Just to pop my eyeball back.
Not to Jackass. You'd still have to come in, I reckon.
I reckon he probably did have to go in. But that is some serious injury. The guy has had, I mean, I can't even list them all. Because
go on,
nobody,
have a go. Rifle through.
Well, he's had four concussions. Yep. He broke his penis.
Oh.
He's got a
sounds
broken.
Sounds like a Friday night for me. Four concussions and a broken penis. How's your
got
night?
One
yeah,
of those.
Good.
With a chaser, thanks. A broken hand, a torn meniscus, and whiplash. Whiplash? Oh, that's nothing.
Yeah.
If you're Johnny Knoxville. But and he has all these doctors now who are just, I mean, seriously, he's used up his lives.
Can I say something? He's the best ever. He's one of the great, oh, yes, one of the great party animals of all time. And I know this because I was in Sydney, this is many years ago, so I'm not getting anyone into trouble. And I was, at the time, I was promoting something, so I was getting limousines everywhere. Mm-hmm. Met a lot of limo drivers, and I had one who's a really good limo driver. And they generally, they're like, it's like confession. They don't say a word, right? But I got to know this guy pretty well. And after all, I said, mate, who's the best? I said, he's the best you've ever seen, that you've ever looked after. And he goes, mate, Johnny Knoxville, by a mile.
Really?
He tells me the story, and he goes, he picked him up at the airport. He drove him around town for 3 days. He never checked into a hotel and drove him back to the airport. What? He partied for three and a half days, and he just kept going and going and going and going until such time as it was time to leave. And in relation to all those injuries, he had like a pocket full of pills, and they were all different shapes and colours. And he used to call it his lucky dip.
That's how he's feeling.
Yeah.
And just see how it goes. See, that's what I want to hear from my rogue sort of stunt guys.
The only time I ever saw him say no to something was when a couple of the boys, and this was on a separate show they did, they did two stunts, some of the funniest things I've ever seen. One where they dressed up as zebras in the Serengeti Plains and actually got attacked by a pride of lions. So they were grazing as a zebra in like a pantomime zebra suit, and they're just grazing, and you see them grazing, and the lions came from everywhere and actually pulled the back down, revealing one of the guys as they both ran off. And the lions were so shocked at what happened, they all ran off. But the only time I ever saw Johnny Knoxville not do anything was they were out in a boat off the coast of South Africa, and they chummed up the waters, and it was full of great whites, and two of them jumped off the end and did a bomb. They did a bomb into the water and came up, and Johnny Knoxville goes,
Well done. All right, huge second hour coming up now. Well, Dave O'Neill's just come back from overseas from visiting his twin brother with the accent. Will Dave have an accent? We'll find out next. Kennedy Malloy.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And this is one you're going to want a bottle. We've got Dave O'Neill coming up very shortly. Bad parenting, Jane. Don't try and deny it. You're trying to get out of it.
I'm not trying to get out of it, but I did do a little bit of a mistake sending one of my twins off to camp. Might have forgotten something.
Our featured artist in bad parenting. I may have a couple of contributions.
I'm sure there'll be callers that will have contributions for bad parenting.
We're going to take your calls. We're going to take your tweets. Musically, we're going to play The Killers.
Because we're going to see them tonight.
We're going to see them tonight.
In Melbourne. We're trying to...
Can we get this across the line as well? Replay the new release of The Gunners inside this hour.
Oh, yeah. You bet.
New Gunners. Make him welcome. Wow. Dave O'Neill.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
Did you know The Gunners have got a mystery? Well, it was a song that was supposed to be.
Yeah. Like a mystery song.
A bloody good song.
Released called Shadow of Your Love. Appetite for Destruction box set's coming out June 29th.
Didn't make the cut for Appetite for Destruction.
And we don't know why, because actually it's a really good
song. So it's the lineup of Slash and Duff.
Yes.
Izzy and Duff, yeah.
The singer.
Because you were in a band.
I was in Noiseworks. That's right. I talk about it often.
Noiseworks. What was your band called?
No, Cabin Coco, mate. Cabin Coco. The Cocos.
And you were on a very high bass.
That little level 42 kind of look.
Level 42. But did you hear about Gibson?
They've gone to receivership.
Oh, that's sad.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
Because every great riff, really, on every rock and roll band is played on a Gibson. Slash, of course.
Yeah. No, my bass is a dog. My son plays it now. It's from the Ibanez factory in Japan, apparently. Now, when I got it fixed, the guy said, this is quite a good bass. Because when I bought it in the 80s, everyone hung it on me because it was Japanese. But now, that's a good handmade. Yeah, it's a good handmade bass.
Do you know who I blame for Gibson?
Who?
Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
It just lowered the bar.
Can you play Guitar Hero?
No, I can't, Jane. No. I play the cowbell. I will play the cowbell and I can play the French horn.
Well, you know, my twin brother was in my band. French Horn.
Oh, your twin brother. Now,
I've been overseas to see him.
You have been overseas to see your twin brother. Now, let's
set it up. Just Glenn, live.
Glenn lives in Switzerland. He lives in Geneva, and he's been there for
the only guy called Glenn living in Switzerland, I reckon.
Well, you know who he hangs out with? Greg from Things of Stone and Wood lives in.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, yeah, because Helen, happy birthday, Helen.
Yes.
Works at the Red Cross, where my brother works. So.
Oh, this is crazy.
Helen, Greg.
Greg, Helen, and Glenn.
Did you see Roger Federer walking around?
No, I got a great schnitzel sandwich. That was a highlight.
Do you know Roger Federer is the biggest sports cheat in the world?
Oh, really?
Roger Federer
is
a cheat.
Ball tampering? Paying off the ball boys.
No, I'll explain it later.
So you're in Switzerland.
He won a cow once. Remember, he won a tournament, they gave him a cow.
Really?
Which apparently is the highest accolade in Switzerland.
He's happy
Switzerland.
With that.
Yeah, Switzerland's a weird place. He kept trying to make me go cross-country skiing, come cross-country skiing. I'm like, nah. Come sledging, he used to call it. We go sledging with the children. That's tobogganing,
Yeah.
I go, nah. He goes, well, why don't we go to the bakery and watch the snow? Yeah, we'll do that. We'll go to the bakery. Why the kids
that
do
that? That sounds more down your alley. Is it still snowing?
Yeah, it's still snow up there on the Swiss Alps. He sent a cheerio for you guys. This is my twin brother, Glenn. Yeah.
This is Glenn O'Neill, the brother of Dave O'Neill. You're listening to Triple M avec Kennedy et Malloy.
That's not real. Okay, is he banging that on?
That is you.
That is you.
Pretending to be. I'm going to put it to you that you do not have a twin brother.
You did not go
to Switzerland. You've been sitting on your ass for a month and you're trying to get the whole thing written off as a business trip.
Ew.
And that's true.
Sounds like Pepe Le Pew.
Dave, play it again.
This is Glenn O'Neill, the brother of Dave O'Neill. You're listening to Triple M avec Kennedy et Malloy.
That's him.
Oh, my God. So he must speak French as well.
Oh, no, he speaks French, Italian and German. Yeah, he can't speak English anymore.
He can't speak English anymore. He hasn't been held up in prison.
Do you feel like you've let the entire team?
He's a doctor.
And he's doing charity work. And you peddle some toilet to your mouth late night in some dingy bars.
Yes. Because I can't really explain what I do for a job. It's quite complicated. I'm like, have a crack.
And what is his job?
He does.
He assesses programs in the third world for charity. So he walks around with a clipboard and he goes, in the Congo, for example, like when there's a water program.
This is like a movie.
Yeah, that's wrong. That's okay. He talks to the locals and he talks to the workers and he makes a report and sends it off. That's what he does.
So he's your twin.
He's my twin brother.
Is he your mum's favourite?
No, possibly, yeah, possibly. But I was there with my teenager, and I've got a teenager and two younger ones. Mm. And I asked my teenager what he's looking forward to, and he said 25 hours of uninterrupted screen time on the plane. That's his highlights. Oh, hello, I think when we got off at Dubai, my teenager said, "Is this India?" That was pretty funny. Mumbai. Yeah, ask those Arab blokes for a curry. Good luck with that, mate. Go ask them.
They did realise that it was a stopover, though. They still had about another 7 hours to go.
That's brutal, that flight.
Yeah. Did they like the flight?
They liked the screen time. My daughter watched Jumanji 3 times.
Really?
So, yeah.
What did you watch?
Oh, I watched I, Tonya. Which is great. 3 Billboards. I caught up with a lot of movies. It was good.
It's a good way to catch up on movies.
It is, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, I agree. And have lots of alcohol brought to you at
yes.
the same time.
It's all free. But the thing
Jane
is,
gets bottles of alcohol given to her as takeaway at the end of a flight.
Really? I don't know why. It must be
I've seen it with my own eyes. Here, Jane, you might need this for the trip home.
Jeez. The image you're projecting on this show, maybe.
Maybe it is.
She's like a female boonie.
But... I did catch my teenage son urinating and smoking in an alley in Paris. And I said, what are you doing?
I beg your pardon?
He said, I'm just trying to fit in, Dad. So.
Did he
really? That's a joke.
Oh, shocked. Look at me.
I swear we got off the train to Paris and the first thing I saw was a guy urinating and smoking in an alley.
They don't mind doing a bit of that. They like to do a bit of a spit as well.
We love Paris, but anyway.
So, I love Paris, but if you could build one of those bombs that keeps all the buildings but kills all the people. You'd drop it on Paris, wouldn't you?
I didn't mind the people.
Oh, I love the Parisians.
I know you love Paris.
I do.
A lot
love
of women
Paris,
love Paris. My wife loves Paris.
You just like walking around. You feel a bit like Audrey Hepburn. I don't know why. There's been no film she made in Paris. It was at Tiffany's. But
we went to the Vatican, which my youngest son Gary.
Gary
described as the boring churchy place.
I'm with Gary.
What's Gary up to?
Well, Gary, the thing is,
I love Gary.
He would say when we get to a monument. So we went to Pompeii. We went to some pretty amazing places.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Pompeii's
wow.
unreal.
Pompeii's unreal. It's oh, yeah, that's a great. Roman town.
Kids love that.
Yeah, yeah. And then we went to Stonehenge in England as
oh,
well.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
Gary always said two things. Where are the rides? It's not Movie World, mate. It's not Hollywood on the Gold Coast. Oh. And the second thing was, looks bigger on the TV. So, you
also,
know,
it's a letdown
yeah,
when you
Stonehenge.
Get there.
Look bigger on the TV, Dad. That's bigger on the computer.
Spinal Tap.
Is that it? Yeah. So when you give things to my boys and you say it's just like a carving or something, and they look at you, but they're, but what does it do?
Oh, yeah. There's no, where the batteries go.
It doesn't do anything, Dad.
Inanimate objects, Sonoma. But I'll tell you what's a good tourist thing to bring back for a kid, if you want, is the snow dome. They do like those because there's a bit of action happening.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
Yeah. I love a snow dome. Yeah. We saw one that had no water in it. Like a safety thing now. They have no water in some of them.
Because you can't carry them on planes.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, the PC police have killed off my snow domes.
But having three young...
Get over the snow domes. What are you...
Three young...
I was getting a bit excited.
Yeah, I like snow domes. Having three young Aussie kids overseas, okay, they get very... They're very loud in places like France
that's
and Italy. And yeah, just yelling stuff. And then all the other tourists would turn around and look at you. And I'd always say the same thing. Guys, come on. You're giving New Zealand a bad name.
Have you got a podcast or something that we can tip people into? You're always up to something creative and new and
fresh. I'm doing a new one.
What?
With your good friend Glenn Robbins.
Oh, great.
Called Somehow Related. And it's where we get two topics that are related. And we've got to work out how... So the first one's Nazis and Fanta. Like, how are they related? And there is a relationship.
A link.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Napoleon and kangaroos.
Napoleon kangaroos. Yep. JFK and corset. So
well, that makes sense.
And the best thing, it only goes.
These are head scratches,
minutes.
And you've got me thinking already. Can I come to one? Do you have a live audience when you tape them, or is it just the two of you?
Just me, him in a garage.
You and Glennie.
Hey, you don't lift the skirts on the magic for us. Dave O'Neill, it is always a pleasure to have you on board.
Thanks, guys.
You're a superstar, did miss you and Gary. Yep.
Thanks.
Indeed.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jane, you're at it again.
Don't make like it's a common thing.
It is. You've let yourself down again.
I let one of my children down badly.
Okay.
And I like that feeling. And I may cry again.
Well, you should be used to it by now.
I should be. I try and be a good mum, but, you know, other parents will hopefully understand.
Five children, a bit of glug glug. And you know what? The time just evaporates, doesn't it?
Out of control.
So you don't know what's going on.
I'm a working mum, and I had a couple of boys, because they're twins, went to Canberra. They left on Tuesday. They flew up, which is pretty fancy. Didn't have it in my day. I'll give you the tip of flying up. But that's two bags. And they had to go up in their school uniform and have a couple of changes of clothes because they're going to go Questacon. Have you been there? It's unreal.
What do you mean a couple of changes of clothes? What are they, Diana Ross?
They're there for 4 days and they're going on different excursions. They're going to Parliament House.
Change of clothes?
I'm sticking to a list. Shut up until you've done it. So I've got these lists and you're paranoid about, oh, my God, have I got this? Have I got two pairs of socks? I've got four pairs of undies. Have I got the T-shirts? Have I got the windcheater? Have I got this? So I've got the double set and it's all going well. And I sent them off in their school uniform and they came back in civvies, you know, a hoodie, their jeans. And one of the boys gets off wearing his school shoes. And I didn't notice it. A mother did point it out to me.
Did she now?
Gave me the nudge and went, get a load of his school shoes on. I went, oh, my God, I did not pack his runners.
Oh, my God.
So the poor kids had to clomp around
in his
Clark's school shoes with his shorts. And I felt terrible and I said, matey.
He could never recover from that.
No, he was good about it. I said, buddy, I'm so sorry. Did stupid mum forget to pack your shoes? And he said yes.
Through tears.
He did, stupid mum.
He was wiping from his eyes.
No, he didn't
he's
cry.
Broken. That
fortunately,
boy is broken.
His roommate had an extra specially awesome mum who packed two spare pairs of shoes.
Oh.
So my boy borrowed a spare pair. But it did make me feel I had
your
a little
boy's
bit
like
of
a homeless kid in Canberra being looked after by the locals.
Know. Isn't that terrible? But you know, he's home now. He's happy as Larry.
Can't walk anymore.
Jane, the photos are going to be a bit
bizarre. I think your children will be a lot happier in boarding school. Just they're safe. Someone's looking after them.
I've done a fair share of school camp packing. I have to tell you, over the years, it's valet service. But I don't know. There's other parents who must have been through. You know, when you just feel that slight.
Let's talk about. Bad parenting. What
pointed out to me very clearly by another parent that my child was wearing school shoes.
That's what upsets you more than your boy not having the correct attire. That's so it was pointed out to you by another woman.
Maybe it does a bit.
You let yourself down. You've let motherhood down.
Someone else has got to do a bit of bad parenting in that way.
Dave, you're hopeless.
I'm a great parent.
What have you ever done?
Nothing.
There's so much to remember.
I can't think of anything bad I've ever done to my children. My wife would probably ring up and say something, but no, I think I'm the model father.
Give us a call, Mrs. D. Give us a call.
Look, we do our best, and the kids wasn't complaining. I know, but I just felt, you know,
should we take it off you? They should be taken off your community services.
Really?
If you're listening.
Oh, I could have a bit of a break.
Hey, give us a call. Bad parenting. We want to get involved. Okay. Come on. Let us know. Make Jane feel better.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
Oh, by the way, Dave, we've had plenty of calls in the break about you and your parenting.
Bad parenting.
I'm the model father.
Or did you? You claim you've never done anything.
No.
Did you or did you not drop a baby on his head?
Nah, well,
early days.
Gracie, she slipped out of my arms when
How does a baby slip out of your arms?
Oh, well, a bit wriggly.
It's not a slips catch, mate.
No, I was on the bed, though, child. So she didn't go too far. So I was from my arms into the bed. So she was fine. She bounced up.
It's off the top bunk.
I feel much better. I feel much better because
it happens.
I forgot to pack shoes for my kid. No, it might.
You're a terrible parent.
I'm not a terrible parent. No. I forgot to pack shoes for a kid who was away for 4 days. He had to borrow someone else's shoes.
Get around his school shoes in his casual attire. There's nothing sadder for a kid.
That looks a bit sad. But other people, I'm happy to say, have done a few things similar. Steve, how are you going, Steve?
G'day, guys. How are we?
Yeah, really
what happened to you?
Well, this was in the mid-90s. I was going to a school camp in Tasmania, and my younger sister was going to a different school camp.
Yeah?
Yes. And my mother had mixed the bags up. And when I went to Tasmania, I had gotten her bag. So I had to improvise and... I was the class clown at the time, so I just improvised and just wore her clothes. I was just lucky.
So what were you wearing? What were you wearing? Describe what you were wearing.
Well, I did have some frill jumpers, some leggings and some socks with the frills on it.
Cute.
That is funny.
Good on you, Steve.
And you had a good sense of humour about it, so that's all right.
Daniel!
G'day.
Hi, Daniel.
What was the bad parenting?
What did Mum do?
I went on the Great Victorian bike ride in 1992.
It's a massive bike
And the bus was departing from Spencer Street in the city and jumped on there, but my parents forgot to put me bike on the... and got down to Bensdale and no bike.
There's no bike for the Great Victorian
the
bike ride.
The great Victorian bike ride. You're standing there in your bike ride.
They gave me this girl's bike and I looked like a real idiot coming home.
Did you ride it?
Oh, I rode it back, yeah.
You're a good man. Daniel, I like your style, Daniel. Well
Mike.
Done.
Mike.
How you going, guys?
Good, Mike. What happened? Did your mum or dad do a bit of shady parenting?
No, it was my sister. I'm bringing my sister in.
Yeah.
She took my nephew to school one day. You know how they have book week and they get dressed up as a character?
Well, yep.
She dressed up as a cowboy. He had the chaps on and the cowboy hat and everything. And she dropped him off at school and then, you know, he went to school all happy. And then she picked him up in the afternoon and he was all upset and she got the day wrong. Week's tomorrow, so the poor kids have to sit in there with the cowboy.
Just as a cowboy.
That's embarrassing. That's
terrible. And we never let her forget it.
Oh, no, I can relate.
Oh, that
My
is
goodness.
Bad parenting. Rebecca, what was the incident of bad parenting?
My daughter, who was 4 at the time, we were out for having lunch. She fell off a chair, not very high. A week later, my sister's come over and she says, I think you should go and get that checked. We take her to hospital and turns out she's broken her collarbone.
I can relate to that.
Rebecca. In the meantime, was there any moaning?
No, she was perfectly fine.
They're pretty hardy, aren't they?
They are, yes.
Pretty resilient.
You can always take them back to the shop and get a new one, I suppose. If anything goes wrong. Rebecca, that's terrible.
Thanks for confessing,
welcome
Rebecca.
Welcome aboard.
Yeah, welcome to the club. Michael.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Michael. What's your story to tell?
Oh, horrific epic fail despite my best efforts. I sent my son off to a school excursion, stupid o'clock in the morning. So the night before, I'd done all the pre-prep, packed the lunch, put it in the fridge, dumb o'clock, packed him, set him off, kiss on the cheek. Through the day, I get a phone call from his teacher about the lunch, wanting to talk to me. Yes. Unbeknownst to me, I'd packed him off with the scrap container for the dog.
So he's gone with dog food.
You sit your kid with the dog food, Michael.
Michael. I feel so much better, Michael. That's great.
Michael, well done. That's a dad at work right there. Peter, come on, boot this baby home.
Listen, I reckon Jane's been parenting in the wrong way. She's made her kids pack the bags themselves.
Oh, well done. Good luck with that, Peter.
Yes, well done, Peter.
They would have learned a couple of important things. One of them is that you only need half the amount of jocks, half the amount of T-shirts. You need one pair of jeans, one pair of shoes, and you're away.
Actually, you're not far wrong, because I've got to say I often unpack a lot of clean folded undies when kids come back from camp. So
they're boys. They're not going to change them.
That's it, mate. Yeah. We're simple little units.
I didn't grow up with boys. Hey, I don't know these things.
If I ever get dropped behind enemy lines, I want to be with Peter. We'd be travelling lightly.
Good luck with that.
Oh, we've got a late arrival. Richard. Mm. What happened to you, Richard?
Oh, look, we came back from Papua New Guinea. I think I was in year seven, back to visit. And we had maternal grandparents and paternal grandparents come pick us up at the airport. There were two cars.
Yeah. Yes.
And each parent thought that I was in the other one's car. But I was actually in the duty-free shop just browsing all the cassette players.
So, hang on, your parents left you at the airport?
They left me at the airport, and I didn't realise they'd gone for probably about half an hour and then sort of wondered where everyone was. They didn't realise that I was at the airport till they got to the destination. And so, where the hell's Richard? Yeah.
Isn't he with you? No, he's with you.
And
no,
this is the
not.
Day before mobile phones, of course. Well, that's kooky. Thank you, Richard.
Well done, one and
Thanks,
all.
Everyone.
They are fantastic. Oh. Not as good as dropping your child on its head, Dave.
Drop it on her head.
Slipped on the bed, apparently.
Exactly.
She's a slippery sucker.
She doesn't go outdoors. Doesn't leave the house.
A new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Can we reflect a little on the week that was? So this is the point in the show, and we're nearly there.
You're looking a bit melancholy. What's going on?
Just think about all the good times, some of the sad times, the ups, the downs.
Yeah.
It's been quite a week.
The rough housing.
It has been quite a week.
The fruity language.
Yeah.
All the stuff that's gone on. Can we take a trip down memory lane and check out our body of work from this week?
It's been a week of shocks on Kennedy Malloy. Mick was shocked to hear that Jane had taken revenge for the whole bomber jacket incident.
How dare you break into my house and steal my Richmond Prince? What a mole.
Go and get my flipping jacket. Is it a deal?
You'll get your stinking jacket.
Oh!
Stinking jacket. Get my prince.
I hope they're still there.
You love your dog, do
They've
you?
They've been there.
Everyone was shocked by our co-worker, Maddie, spending $3,000 on a pair of sneakers.
They're not the most comfortable shoes.
Right.
You don't walk around in them, you just wear them inside.
Just inside, yeah.
Did you say they're not comfortable?
No. I had to put some insoles in them.
Lawrence Mooney shocked us with how he talked about his 85-year-old mum.
Sometimes I can watch her work away through a plate of steak and chips. And I just think to myself, I should end you with a... Because it's the chewing that gets you down in the end. It's just, how long is this going to take? Seriously.
Fast game's a good game, Mum.
Pass the steak over. I'll chew it myself and then just regurgitate it into your mouth like some kind of emperor penguin.
Mick reminded us of a shocking headline.
Gordon Ramsay's porn dwarf double found dead in a badger hole. You got to read on at that point, don't you?
Yeah.
I imagine so.
Read on. I got the films out. It was a fantastic 2.5-some. It's followed by a scene where he goes up on a girl. So anyway.
We actually weren't shocked at all that Dave Reynolds' girlfriend, Tahan, is a Miss Universe finalist. She's gorgeous.
Can we ask your background?
I am part Aboriginal, Malaysian, Chinese and English Australian.
So if you don't get nominated as Australian, you could have another three cracks at this.
you could
run for
China,
you
get
your own
show on SBS.
Mick's choice of fictional character crush was a little shocking.
Little Miss Muffet, I think, was...
What?
Sorry, that's a bit weird.
Why?
Just the way she sat on that tuffet.
We shouldn't really be shocked to hear that men are idiots.
My husband.
What's he done?
Well, he was very good, agreed to cook dinner, gave him the simplest recipe of zucchini and cheese quiche.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He rings me on the way home and says, it's not cooking, it's not setting, it's all slushy. And
what's going on?
Clearly doesn't know the difference between zucchini and a cucumber.
No!
But the most shocking moment of the week, Jane getting so fired up about wearing PJs to the breakfast buffet that She dropped the F-bomb.
People at a breakfast buffet wearing their pyjamas.
Okay.
Oh, so, what?
There it is.
What?
This is, I think, I think we have...
Right?
Hang on. Here we,
it's outrageous.
Hang
quick.
On, hang on. Now, Jane, we just had to dump you on the radio then. I can't believe you just said that.
My apologies.
What just happened?
You were very comfortable.
I'm just, I'll tell you what, I'm astonished.
It's a mixture of the word buffet and flannelette pyjamas. Oh, I'm sorry.
What is wrong?
I know,
with
I
you?
I just felt so relaxed.
Is that how you talk around the house?
Yes.
You are terrible. Well, that is a load of fun. Well done, Marshy. I love Marshy. Yeah. He's our best producer.
Chris Marsh. He's an absolute.
Thank you very much, Marshy.
That is sensational. And probably a bit too much of you in there. I thought. Well, I would have thought maybe to focus on me a bit.
Just
a bit
on that swearing, Robert Avianta said, Jane Kennedy dropping the F-bomb, in a past life, she was a bloke, I swear. What a great compliment.
Past life?
I don't know.
Who knows? No, it's fantastic. It makes me feel good about ploughing headlong into the weekend.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Your interview with Dave Grohl. We've heard the one that everyone loves, but obviously it wasn't the first one.
Right.
This is, if you heard a swear on air, you should have heard the first interview you did. With,
please don't play this.
Dave, yeah, this is Jane.
This is terrible.
The Foo Fighters.
Come on.
I am a huge fan. I'm going to be a bit of a creepy so Dave and Taylor, I would like to you guys.
She's Louise.
Seriously, the only other person I was Alice Cooper.
Hang on.
Here, Dave Grohl. Jeez Louise.
Now, people might think that's real.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
Come on, Jane.
I am a respectful mother.
I can't cover for you all the time.
Yeah. When you get this job in the radio, you've got like a terms of codes and broadcasting things you've got to go through, and there's things to sign and fill out, and the swearing is the big one.
Shut up, Dave.
And you represent the show now too. It's Dave. Not just about you, but you take us all down.
Well, Stephen Blanco says, Jane swearing reminds me of Peter Russell Clark.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome work, Mickey.
Oh, have you got that one?
Oh, I haven't.
Sean Somerville says, you may need a matching swear jar to go with the chamber pot. I'm not having a swear jar.
Just have two in one.
All right.
You put coins
in. I will promise that I will try to behave myself.
I've got some Peter Russell Clark if you want it.
Yeah.
Very quickly. Here it is. I haven't listened to this, so let's hope we're not in delay. Okay. So what could possibly go wrong?
Hang on.
G'day. What's the f***ing name of this? So I'm making something special with some broccoli and some f***ing that stuff. It's carrot. Now, where's the cheese? Australian Eden, by the way, you. So hard boil and chill them, roll them in flour, press sausage meat and vegetables around them, brush them with a beaten egg, cover them with breadcrumbs and f***ing fry the c*** till they go black, you
wow, okay.
That's a cooking show I'd watch. That is a cooking show.
See, it's always funny where it's someone you least expect to be a bit of a swearer. Yeah. Like Peter Russell Clark, we didn't realise really had that side.
Right.
And nor did you think I did. I'm not as bad as him.
Oh, okay.
I'm not. Anyway.
Keep yourself tidy.
I do keep myself tidy.
You represent the show now. What are your plans for the weekend?
I'm going to the Killers tonight.
So you're there. Dave's going.
Yeah, bringing my Mrs. Good Lady along as well.
Well,
so you two behave yourselves.
So will we be waving
what
to you?
What do you mean us two?
No, I'm in with you guys.
What?
Yes.
Don't tell me to behave myself. Of course I will. I know how to behave myself in public.
Everyone's going. Look.
Yeah, everyone is going to the Killers tonight. They're in Adelaide next week, by the way, so looking forward to that. Hey, huge show coming up next week. Lots of great guests. Limo's going to join us.
Excellent.
Limo!
Hamish Blake will join us as well. Lawrence Mooney, Lee Sales.
Good man, Lee Sales. It's her birthday. We'll have to think of something special.
All right, let's do that. We'll think of something.
Enjoy your weekend. See you Monday for Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy, your new way to drive home.